the tremblings of the plane slowly being set into motion. Your eyes staring out of the porthole. The trail of paperwork and administrative back and forth you had to put up with is finally behind you. The past few days you've been spiraling. Visa clearance over there, packing over here, and every goodbye to close ones in between. But finally, there you are, in your seat. The plane glides as the hectic brouhaha of pre-liftoff chaos turns distant, and only its faint rumors remain in the form of seatbelt clicking and the mumbled, filtered voice of the captain leaking in and then out of the microphones. Your mind clears. Space opens up. Awareness flows back to the forefront of your being. As if carried by the plane now launching into its ascension, arises both the anticipation of the unknown ahead and the nervousness of leaving the familiar behind. You may or may not ever have been away from home for so long, may not even have traveled before, but here you are, leaving only to be back in 4, 5, 6 months. Will you enjoy the ride? Only months after your return does the extent of this experience's impact begins to reveal itself. A picture might pop up on your phone, or a song might come on, and just like that, you find yourself fondly reminiscing over the memories of faces, smiles, habits, smells, foods you'll now forever carry with you. Hi all, welcome to this new episode of Endu Talks, presented by the Institute of Industrial and System Engineers, the Concordia chapter. I am your host, Thomas. Today, I'm happy to present to you my first ever solo episode of Endu Talks. I'm happy to have been able to experiment a little bit at the beginning. As you just heard, I wanted to create an experience. I wanted to create a space where you could picture yourself, and you could feel what I'm about to talk about. Because as you might have guessed, the subject of this episode is studying abroad as a student, more specifically as an engineering student. So let's get going. This episode is for all the students who might feel the calling of an adventure abroad. It might be that you're hesitant due to apprehensions about being on your own away from home for so long, or you may just have questions about the technicalities of the process. Well, worry no more. I will try to cover everything during this episode so that you can go and enjoy some time abroad. So this episode is for everyone. However, the context of the podcast is specific to engineering students, more so Indu students, but I'm sure other majors could benefit also from listening to this. Me brief story, short story about me. I went to South Korea maybe in two years ago. I went to South Korea as an exchange student. And every time I talk about it to my fellow Indo students, they're surprised that you can do that, that you're able to. Maybe it's not advertised to engineering students as much. It's also more complicated, but I feel like it's still possible, and it's unfortunate that so many miss out on that opportunity. So I'd first like to start by saying that whatever your experience with traveling is, or whatever the extent of your comfort zone happens to be, I would encourage absolutely everyone to do one. I am sure people who've been abroad would say exactly the same thing also. And yes, even alone, please don't stop yourself from going because you can't go with someone you know. Not that it wouldn't be fun as well, but trust me, being on your own makes for a very unique experience. That's actually one of the first questions people tend to ask. How is it meeting people abroad? Did you make friends? It's actually one of the easiest things to do. You won't be alone in your situation. If not for locals, there will be plenty of students looking to socialize and explore and discover the new location you're in. And it'll be super easy to make friends. to make friends. So yeah, just like short story, I had not even landed in Seoul that I had met someone. I was in the plane from Doha in Qatar to Seoul, and you know me, I'm all excited. It's a Korean airline, so was it a Korean airline at that point? I'm not sure. Maybe it was Qatar Airways, but already the meals were Korean. It was everything new. I had kimchi, I had bulgogi. So yeah, I was already in the excitement of traveling. And I'm not somebody that was super social. I'm more so now that I've done my study abroad. But next to me was this older Korean guy who was maybe 45, 50 years old. And for some reason, he just started talking to me. I don't exactly remember like what it was about. But as we kept talking, we shared contacts, and he told me really clearly, like, when you come to Busan, which is the other big city in Korea, in South Korea, you have to come see me. And like a few weeks after that, like maybe a month and a half, when I got the time to go to Busan, I actually hit him up, and he invited me with his friends over dinner. It was actually super funny. I was there with like three or four middle-aged Koreans, men and women. And we couldn't really exchange. They didn't really speak English, but it was still super fun and like a super unique experience. So if you go with an open mindset, you for sure make friends. I had not even landed in South Korea that I had met somebody. And yeah, it will be even easier with other exchange students who are looking to do the same. And you're going to make friends for sure. So yeah, also one of my opinions before I get into the more technical, aspects of studying abroad is that it's also my opinion that you shouldn't be afraid to pick a destination that may appear outside of your comfort zone. And maybe because it's not something that you had in mind at first. The destination will make things happen for you, and you'll find beautiful things as you go and live it. So yeah, even if it's not your dream destination, still go, and you'll experience things that you didn't know you would. And also, for example, me, I chose to go to South Korea, and actually, even prior to that, I was set to go to Singapore, but COVID hit and everything got canceled. But whatever, I suggest that. I suggest this because in my situation, coming from Montreal, with almost no ties to that part of the world, be it Asia, Singapore, or South Korea, and not speaking the language, it was harder for me to foresee circumstances aligning and allowing me to spend an extended period of time over there. Instead of like let's say Paris or London or anywhere else in Europe or the States, where in the future I would for sure see myself living there for an extended period of time or working. Or yeah, the language barrier is not as hard, like the social barriers are not as tough to overcome. So yeah, I would suggest to really take that opportunity and go out of your comfort zone. And before you know it, you will have extended your comfort zone, and you'll be happy you went. So yeah, like I would like also now to touch on the process of applying. At Concordia specifically, it's pretty simple, but you have to go through with it. It's a necessary pain, maybe. It's something you do. So to apply, you have to first go to the study abroad page on the Concordia website, and all the info is there. You fill in an exchange application, and it's a bit different for Canadian citizens than for international students, but all the info is there. You have to probably write a letter of intent and get some and fill in the course approval form. So that's what I wanted to really touch on for ENDU students and engineering students in general. If you're a first year, it's the best time to start looking at your destination and at a possible study abroad. It is possible afterwards also, like I did. I was in my third year, but it's much more complicated finding the courses to go abroad, because what you have to do is to fill in the course approval form, you find courses in your curriculum that you can take abroad. So, but they have to be approved. They have to be approved by your faculty as equivalent to the courses you would be taking here. So me being advanced into my degree in my third year, the courses become a lot more specific to the curriculum of Concordia or any other school. Like, as you go further and further into your degree, it's harder to find big general courses like, I don't know, calculus courses or, I don't know, generic industrial engineering courses that every industrial engineering curriculum in any university will probably have. So for me to find ENGR 233 or 213 equivalents for like some calculus stuff is a lot easier than to find a specific equivalent for, let's say, lean enterprises or simulations. Like there'll be many more differences. So if you wait too long, it's gonna be a hassle to find equivalents. So my suggestion would be that you go through your first year, because you need a certain amount of credits before you can leave. But as you go through your first year, before February, you've already looked and applied for an exchange, for study abroad for your second year. So, yeah, that's the way I see it being the best. So you can go on the Concordia website, and from there, engineering students have a specific list of approved destinations. You have plenty, not as many as like other degrees, but yeah, you have Australia, China, Colombia, France, Ireland, South Korea, Mexico, Singapore, the UK, the United States, so you go there and you click on you first start picking the destinations that are interesting to you. You check out the university website and you start digging into their courses. I'm open, like, okay, so if you happen to listen to this, you have any questions, I'm super willing to help, because this is kind of the annoying part where you have to dig through the course catalogs of different schools. It's not always super clear what they offer, what they don't offer, what's for graduate students, what's for undergraduate students. So at the beginning it might be a bit hard. It might be not hard, but like annoying to find equivalents. But for sure it's worth it, and go through with it. So once you fill that form, that course approval form, you share it to the department advisor. Don't hesitate to ask questions to the department advisor. They are there for you, and actually at Concordia, they're super helpful. I've had a great experience, so they help you along, and don't hesitate to make use of that resource. And finally, I want to touch upon the final point, which is like money. Of course, money is a privilege to be able to do that. And we're lucky enough that in Canada, and in Quebec, there's like a bursary that you get just for studying abroad. So as soon as you get accepted, Concordia fills the fills out the form for you to get a substantial amount of money. Maybe it's over, I think now it's changed and it's over 5K that you get to go abroad. So it covers like, probably covers your ticket plus your accommodation over there and even more, you know. I know somebody that went to Japan and he came back with more money than he had spent. Maybe he's a bit frugal. I'm not saying you'll make money going over there, but yeah, so there's plenty of ways, and there's other programs also, and yeah, so the Concordia will fill that out for you. Once you're over there, you sent a proof that you're over there, that you started the classes. You have it signed by the which is signed by the school over there, and you'll get a direct deposit into your account, and from there you're good to go. So yeah, I think that pretty much covers everything I wanted to talk about for this episode. For sure, I'm forgetting some stuff. But I don't want it to be too long. I just wanted this to be a quick motivation, and also with some loose guidelines, a loose guide of why and how you should go abroad. I'm always open to helping also. So if you have any questions, you can hit me up on LinkedIn. So stay safe, guy. So stay safe, guys. I hope you travel abroad. It's an incredible experience, and yeah, don't miss out on it for anything. So thank you for listening to this week's episode of Endu Talks. Go see the world, go abroad, go have fun, and yeah, for any questions, please ask me. This was your host, Thomas. See you soon.